And who do we have with us, Fast Eddie?
Well, Digital Dave, we have Ken Kreitz here, who is the narrator or announcer
the
voice of Tora.
We're going to find out what happens when two announcers are in the same room again.
Yeah, it's dueling personalities, of course.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What brings you out here besides a lack of coffee?
Probably an airplane.
It is. Eight of them, actually. We have five zeros, two vowels, and a Kate. Two Kates and a vowel with us on field this weekend. And we're going to show them off to the entire operation here later this afternoon, about 4:30.
That sounded like a card hand. You know, I'll raise you a vowel and give you two T-60s.
Wait a minute. I'll swap you two Mustangs for that zero.
That's right.
Let's make a deal.
Anyway, it's a living history lesson, I heard it described as.
It really is. You know, we're 40 years old now. The team that we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, and to be at Air Venture is just a spectacular way to celebrate that 40th anniversary. But the airplanes were built for the movie Tora in 1968. And in 1972, we got six of the original airplanes and then have acquired more and have been flying this living history museum for the Commemorative Air Force ever since.
Now, I understand they were obviously vowels and Kates were hard to come by, so they took T-6s and modified them. How accurate is the appearance of the aircraft?
Really quite accurate. In fact, when we build them, and we have built one more, aircraft 118 that Mark and I support, that airplane is an SNJ-6 that we built just like the movie airplanes. And so it has all of the modifications. It has the longer nose cowl. It has the correct canopy structure, the rudder, all of the things that have been done to the airplanes to make them look like the real airplane. And in fact, the Commemorative Air Force has a zero that we fly at our show in October. And when you put them up in the sky together, you can't hardly tell them the difference.
Now, you're talking a zero. You're talking an authentic Mitsubishi-built zero.
Mitsubishi A6M0, yes.
The real deal. Are you flying it with the original engine?
No, it has a Pratt engine. The only one left that has the real engine in it is the ones out of Plains of Fame West.
Yeah, and parts for that have got to be horrendous to get.
Well, virtually impossible. You just have to make them, you know. And that's the nice thing about with us flying the T-6s and the Kates are a modified T-6 SNJ that's been stretched to give it the three-man cockpit. And so that airplane looks very, very much like the original Kate. I've had the pleasure, guys, of being at Plains of Fame West and I have looked at all of the airplanes that Steve has out there, Steve Hinton. And that's a wonderful museum, and it's a great place for us to do research on keeping the airplanes looking correct. And then there are a lot of books and magazines and things that give us the colors and the identification for the airplanes so we can keep them looking correct.
Now, how do you actually present this history lesson? I mean, obviously we don't have a mock Pearl Harbor here for you to bomb.
No, we bring it with us.
Okay. The cardboard carrier force has arrived.
Yeah. No, we have a very, very adept crew out in the field. Gordon Webb and all of our pyrotechnics folks are out there setting up the shots for this evening. And, in fact, we do 60 shots under the airplanes during the program. And so we end up with a lot of fire and a lot of smoke and smoke rings and all of those sorts of things. And you can literally feel the concussion of the bomb in your feet. And I say something about that generally during the program because we literally try to take the folks and pull them into the program. I get out in front on the taxiway with a microphone, and I'm literally speaking to the crowd and telling them the story. I'm a storyteller, and so I get out there and I try to involve the folks. And we listen to President Roosevelt and his speech the next morning to Congress. And so we use all of that, and we use a lot of sound effects and music and Kate Smith and all of the things to kind of wrap that 1939 through 1945 feeling around the show. And then all the noise and the confusion and 8 airplanes out in front of you, and they're coming from all different directions, and a P-40 Warhawk out there with us. Ray Kenny is going to be flying the P-40 from the Commemorative Air Force with us today. And so we're really, I think the folks here at AirVenture will really enjoy seeing Tora for the first time.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to all the pyro. I'm a big fan of pyro. And it sounds interesting.
How many pilots are, well, let me back that up. Are any of the pilots flying today from the original group? I mean, that was a long time ago.
No, but we do have 3 boys with us this week who are sons of original pilots. We have Patrick Hutchins flying 111, Charles Hutchins, who was the lead for Tora for 25 years and helped the team win the Art Scholl Award about 20 years ago. And Mike Burke, his dad was a co-pilot on the original B-17 that flew with the troop back then in 72. And then Dan Reedy, whose dad was really one of the founding fathers of the Tora organization in 1972. If you can imagine getting these derelict airplanes out of Hollywood after the movie, and nobody wanted them. There was no use for them. And so 6 of them were brought to Harlingen at that time, and the airplanes just sit there doing absolutely nothing. And the guys at Angleton, Texas, and there's a Freudian slip, Angleton, Texas, these gentlemen were crop dusters down there at the old Bales Field, and that field is still there, and they still have guys flying out of that airport. But those airplanes were then moved over to Bales Field there at Angleton, and the guys put the airplanes together, painted them with mops, and trying to get them to look like something. And then they flew the first show in 1973 at Galveston, Texas. And so 40 years later, here we are at AirVenture.
I was going to say, how did you get to be the announcer for this group?
Oh, my goodness, Eddie.
They found out he was better at talking than flying.
Well, that's kind of right, because I am an active pilot with all the appropriate licenses. In fact, I have a Bonanza and a J3 Cub that I fly pretty regularly. In 1983, take you back in history just a little bit, the Missouri wing of the Commemorative Air Force, CAF, was having a huge air show in St. Louis. And I mean, they brought in the whole fleet. And my friend Mel Reese and I were wing leader and XO for the Missouri wing at the time. And Tora, as part of the Commemorative Air Force, came in to do that show. Well, I, being a local guy and somewhat of an air show announcer, quasi, kind of getting started, you know how that goes, Eddie.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you ever get started in air show announcing? You know,
simple. Somebody shoves a microphone in your face and says you're on.
That's right.
We haven't figured out how to get him to stop.
Thank you.
And so I and Kathy McDonald, a local television personality, we were asked to do the show. So knowing that Tora was going to be there, and knowing that that was going to be the introduction to our World War II reliving history, I did a little bit of research on Tora and the invasion of Pearl Harbor and all that, and put together a little bit of a script in my mind that I was going to use. And as a result of that, Charles Hutchins asked me on occasion to come out and do air shows with the team there in the Midwest. And that just kind of evolved into me being the primary announcer for for Torah.